Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody. We're finally back from the holidays. I think I'd like to say life has calmed down and gotten back to normal, but I don't think that's true for any of us. Today we are going to be talking about the secret ingredient of can't look away fictional relationships. But before we get into that, I know we all have some news because we are going to be at the Albuquerque Comic Con this weekend. We're super excited for that. I think we're all wishing it had been a different weekend and that we had been giving slightly more notice about it, but we're making it work.
Our costumes are kind of sad, but that's okay. We're going. It'll be fun. We'll learn the ropes down in Albuquerque. So if you're anywhere around here and you need something fun to do in the Four Corners, go to Albuquerque this weekend.
That's right.
We'll be there. Should be fun, hopefully. What else is going on?
I'm trying to think.
I don't think I have anything.
I don't know. My book is finally out. I don't know if we've had a thing since that.
No.
I'm re-releasing Army of Sorrow with updated chapters, some new ones put in, a new cover, copies of that. It's not available anywhere yet, but I will have copies of it for Comic-Con. So
yes, exclusively for that. So send it to drive 3 or 4 hours to come see us.
That's right.
From where we are. It'll be fun. And Sheree, you had over Christmas break, because I know we didn't do our little things the last couple of weeks, you did have your Invincible?
Oh, yeah.
Which one? I'm like, am I saying the right third book, right?
Yeah, Invincible
third book came out.
Is out. Yes, it is. I completely face that. I've been really just fried the last couple of weeks. We decided
we're going
to sell our house and move. So, yeah, that kind of is taking over everything. I forget what I'm doing half the time.
Gail and I moved in the last, I moved not this last November, but the one before that, right? And then Gail, you moved.
I moved last February.
We've all been moving. It's horrible. I feel for you, Sheree.
It's
not fun. It takes over everything.
It does.
Everything. So did you actually buy the house, the other house?
No, we haven't yet. They know we want to make an offer, but we need to get our house listed first. So that's what we're doing.
Okay.
We're getting everything cleaned up and listed so we can make an offer and then hopefully sell our house and buy the other one. So,
fingers
crossed it all just works out.
Yeah, that's always the timing of it. I was kind of grateful we were in a rental because we didn't have to worry about that end. It was just kind of like, just get out of our rental and go your house.
Yep.
But,
Yeah.
Except for ours, it was, we've sold your rental, now you need to get out.
Yeah, you had it a little stressful.
We did.
You know, it's always stressful. It is. And then we're like, okay, Sheree, let's go to Comic-Con right in the middle of it. Let's go. Come away for 3 days. Your family doesn't need you.
That's right.
We are. We're living that.
Right.
So
talk about our topic. So we picked this topic, and then we went to go read our article, and we realized it's like 2 paragraphs long.
Yeah.
It's a short one. But
yeah, it's a short
I was telling Gail that the article is from K.M. Whalen's blog, and if you haven't been on her blog, it's awesome. I'm on there all the time. And I end up tweeting to her at least like once a week because I found a blog article that I like. So she's probably sick of hearing from me. But it's a great variety of topics, and it's really good. So go check it out if you haven't been on there yet.
Yes. And her name is KM. Is it? Those are her initials?
Yeah, just the initials.
KM Whalen.
KM Whalen.
Okay.
I'm not sure how to pronounce it. I say everybody's name wrong.
I don't know.
I'm here.
Well, it was very good little, even though it was short, it had very good points in it. And I think we all can relate to the point that it's talking about why some shows just totally hold our attention for the whole time. And then sometimes it, you just totally lose interest. And it's all about those relationships, whether it's romantic or it's a father and son dynamic or whatever it might be. It's those relationships that make them make the show, really, no matter what show it is.
Yeah. And I really liked her first opening line where it said, almost without exception, fiction revolves around relationships, whether it's a romantic couple, parents and children, friends, or a man and his volleyball.
Yes,
I guess they hadn't really thought of that one as, you know,
yeah,
him and Wilson, as that being like a relationship focus in that movie in Castaway. But I was like, it totally was, because that was the only thing he had to talk to. It wasn't even a person, but, you know, he did. He, like, built this relationship because he needed that interaction. I mean, all of our characters will realize you need that interaction, or, I don't know, you probably go crazy if you don't have anybody to talk to.
Well, then you talk to a volleyball. You do go crazy.
You're still crazy.
He may have been
crazy.
Because we need that, exactly. We need to be able to talk to something, no matter what.
Yeah.
It's true, though. So what do you think, in the article, and I'll just put it as a question, why is it some shows just keep us watching and some we're just like, after a moment, you know, well, in the article it says it's a kiss of death, but there's that moment where you're like, you lose interest.
Well, she has a picture of Castle, and if anybody hasn't watched that, it's Rick Castle, and I don't know what her name, I can't remember what her name is. Oh, my gosh.
Kate Beckett.
There we go.
Beckett. I'm like, I have to think.
I watched Castle religiously and was dying for them to finally just get over it and get together. And they did. And sorry if that's spoiler for anybody who hasn't watched up to this point. They did finally get together. And, you know, the last season finale, not this new season that's playing currently, but the one that ended in the spring, you know, it ended with them, like, heading to their wedding and something horrible happened or something.
Oh,
and I hate
yeah.
to say it, but the new one started, and I was kind of like, meh.
Yeah, I have other shows.
That's,
I stopped watching it, too. I did the same thing. I was totally into Castle. Loved it. Like, I was like, we're always Gail, and everybody's like, oh, have you seen the new Castle? Like, we really, it was one of my favorite shows. And now I don't even record them. It's sad. It's like, really? Am I that? Like,
and it's not because I don't care about the characters or anything. I don't know what
it's
is.
Funny, and yeah, I've just totally lost interest. Well, and she says in this article that it's really that conflict that we like. We like that constant.
Yeah.
There's that tension there, that conflict. And it doesn't even have to be between a man and a woman. If they had introduced other, and I think every show has its own little conflict, obviously, but if there had been a bigger thing, like they have conflicting goals or something where the relationship, even though they love each other, but there's still some tension there, we probably would still be, you know,
right.
watching.
And they might have
like,
added that in.
They might have. They might have realized. We haven't.
Well, I was going to say, since we haven't been watching this season, they may have added that in and we don't know it.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that, I know Sheree is a program, but not as Sheree is, because I started later watching it, and there's like a gajillion episodes of that. But talk about messed up relationships that you're constantly like, you know what I mean? And it's a sibling relationship on that show.
I missed what you said at the very beginning because my phone totally cut out. And I don't know if it cut out for the rest of the people.
Mine
what show are you talking about? I can't even hear Gail.
Supernatural. I said that's one of those shows that, you know, they've all, well, and it's a sibling relationship.
Yes.
And I think
the
that.
Two brothers.
Yeah. And I think
so
I love their relationship.
It's so true, though.
You love, and it's a love-hate relationship, usually, with your siblings. You do anything for them, but you want to kill
them
90% of the time.
Yeah. Well, and on top of that, with Sam and Dean, they have, you know, all of this, you know, history where their father comes in. And, you know, one of them agrees with the way they raised them. And the other one is like, absolutely not. This wasn't right. I hated it.
See, and that causes
and so,
a good,
you know,
conflict and tension right there.
Yeah. And when they're forced to, you know, kind of come back together and work together, you know, hunting demons and whatnot, then, mm-hmm. you know, then that tension only increases because you've got Sam who doesn't want to be there and Dean who's like, hey, this is our legacy, basically, like, suck it up and quit being a baby.
Right.
And so you just have this, like, constant battle back and forth, especially through those first couple seasons, and then it kind of shifts, but they always do a really good job of keeping some form of tension between Sam and Dean. So you're always like, oh, what's going to go on between them? Is one of them finally just going to lose it on the other one?
I mean, there's a ton of drama, clearly. Like, there's a lot going on in that show. And they do a good job, though, of, like, you know, you said that originally it's Sam that hates what they're doing. And Dean's like you said, suck it up. This is our goal or whatever. And you know they switch partway through the the life, and they do that in such a way that you don't question it. It's natural, you know. And
well,
that's another thing.
Dean reasons that he wants out of the life, and
right.
you know he finally gets to see that like it is possible. I could have a normal life, and he wants it. And that was. Like one of the saddest episodes. I was like, oh,
don't give away too much, girls. I'm gonna be watching these one day.
But it's just interesting how they can switch it back and forth, and they pull you in, and they get you like emotionally connected to whatever it is they want at the time. And you know, something else happens, and it shifts, and then you want that with them too.
and see, that's good writing because you're always Yeah, you're always rooting. You're always wanting something, and you're wanting it with the character, one or the other. You're, like, wanting it for them so bad that it keeps you watching or keeps you reading if it's a book. So it's when I think everything – and, see, that's the tricky thing, and I think for me, anyway, you know, when you have these – usually in book one you'll have some kind of romantic tension between two characters, and maybe it gets resolved in book one or book two. And then you think, oh, great, is that the kiss of death right there? And my readers are going to be, like, lose interest in the series because – I hate to say it, I mean, not that everyone loves romance, but romantic tension is huge in books. I mean, that can be a little or a lot. It's a driving, for me, it's a big part of the book that I enjoy, and it draws you into it.
Yeah.
But I think I was in that article, I liked how she said, you know, even if they're in love and you show them get together or whatever, if it's a couple relationship, there still needs to be something between them, like whether it's conflicting goals or maybe one of them mistrusts the other a little bit and they still have to work towards that. It said when they, just something that keeps the reader off balance where they're wanting, they're still like unsure and they keep reading. If the two characters fulfill every desire and whim of the other character and they're just like the perfect character, A, they're boring for one thing.
Right,
but
yeah.
That's where I think you lose that. You're just like, oh, they had their happy ever after and the story's done. So you don't even want to keep reading. You're bored with it. And so I'm reading this article as something to keep in mind, like, to be aware of.
I think on that note, but on the opposite end of it, if that makes sense, you don't want to throw drama in for drama's sake either.
Oh, no.
It has to make sense to the story. And also, not so much books, I don't think, but I know with TV shows, there's been a few where I stopped watching because I'm like, frustrated that they don't get these characters together.
You're like, oh, come on.
At least give you something. You know what I mean? When I wrote my first book, Army of Sorrow, I had my editor. She was like, you've got to go put some romance. I mean, I had some, but nothing happened. She's like, you got to give us a kiss, something. She's like, you got to give us a little something. She's like, yeah, exactly. And, you know, I hadn't even thought about it. And at that point, now I don't write a book without a kiss because
I know,
I'm good.
You know, it's like the best thing to write.
Writing. It's that whole, you have to give enough that people stay interested in the romance. I know I've been psych with my kids. And, you know, watching Sean and Juliet on that show, almost got to the point where I was like, I almost quit watching it because it was getting frustrating, even
ridiculous.
Though I liked
it. It gets ridiculous.
The rest
like,
of the
time,
but I'm like, just give us something, you know, some kind of sticker that they might eventually get together. It was getting annoying. to me.
So it's a fine line, you know what I mean? Because Catherine was getting to that point. I was like, oh, my gosh, if they don't get together. And then they do, and then what do? I stop watching the show. It's such a fine line. Well, and I think you can have them get together, but what there should be greater conflict, something else they're facing still that could tear them apart. And maybe that's what keeps the reader going, oh, they might not make it through this because danger, you know, something, one of the characters
right.
is in danger. They might have to make a decision down the road that might split them, you know what I mean? Something like that. Then you're on edge, and then you're like, oh, let me see what happens here. So, I don't know.
You know, we've been talking about Castle a lot, but, you know, with the season finale, last year's season finale, or last season, I guess.
I
almost felt like it was so over the top, like, because they threw in danger, but it was like so over the top. And I don't know if anybody else watched it.
I stopped watching before they even got to their wedding. Is that terrible?
It's got Kate running down the road in her wedding dress and a fiery explosion, and you don't know what's happened to Castle. It reached the point where I was like, that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So
no, I know. It's a fine balance. I don't know. Some shows and TV or books do it really right. I mean, do it so well. And I guess, I'm thinking of books that the romance, Clockwork series or, you know,
they did a good job.
Love that.
Was really good. But on the opposite end, you have her Mortal Instrument series, and at least in the first three.
I haven't read those. Yeah, I need to.
Well, in the first three, you deal with that whole, they think they're brother and sister, which I kind of thought was a little bit like, ew.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh,
and I've had people that have, that I've suggested the series to, and, they'll call me, and they're like, tell me, because I will not keep reading this series if they are actually brother and sister.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
and
right.
Now, in the movie, they kind of made it more clear that was,
Not really.
Yeah,
but in the book, I kept reading it because in my back of my head, my little voice is going, there is no way somebody would really write this book and it be this popular.
I know. DC Andrews and Flowers in the Attic, there's a whole mess. He's about a brother and a sister. I don't know. You never know in books these days. You know what I mean? It's
beautiful.
Oh. Yeah. No, there's some that do a really good job and, you know, you're like,
I wonder sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, I think as far as kind of the first thing that came to mind after I read this one was Ross and Rachel from Friends.
There you go.
How long did that show go on? I can't even remember. It was forever.
9 or 10 seasons. It was a long time.
And from the first episode, you have this awkward, weird, slightly creepy dynamic with Ross obsessing over Rachel and Rachel being totally oblivious most of the time. And they carried that on until the very last episode, freaking 10 years later or something when they're finally
it was 10 seasons.
Okay, we're both grown up enough to have a real relationship now. And it was just so back and forth and off, and they get together and one of them screws it up and they get together again and something crazy happens. I thought that was one of the best long-term romantic relationships through TV that just, it made you insane.
It worked.
And you wanted to throw both of them out of the show every other episode, but it kept you watching and the writers knew exactly what to do to keep that dramatic tension going. And I thought it was also good because it freed up the other characters to have
real relationships. They could have relationships. Mm-hmm. They did.
Because you always had that one that was just crazy.
I was
going to
say,
because
they did that one so well that,
you didn't need it with
Chandler.
Everybody.
Chandler and Monica.
Monica.
You know, and they didn't have a perfect
goofy
relationship. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a good example. That is a very good one. That got me thinking about like old shows, Saved by the Bell.
Oh, I love that,
show. And you remember watching like when they did their wedding like years later? Do you remember that? And you're like,
I
missed that. Oh, you never saw that.
I think I watched that.
But that, like the same thing, like they're like, oh, they're never going to be together. It's just interesting how sometimes it really works and sometimes it doesn't, you know?
Well, okay, you want to talk about one that had from back from the 90s, Boy Meets World. That show lasted forever. And they brought it, they have one on the Disney Channel called Girl Meets World, where it's their daughter now. And they're on there, though, as a couple. I mean, that was how dynamic their couple was.
Yeah.
And they got together.
Him
and they had... Yeah, and they had their happy ending, but they still kept it interesting.
After they got married, I really felt like the show kind of died after that. It kept going for a while, maybe just one season, I can't remember, after they graduate high school and get married and go to college. That was kind of another one that all through their, like, because they do middle school up through high school with them, and through that whole time, they kept their... you know, their funny little relationship and going back and forth and stuff. And then that was one where I was kind of like, yeah. And then they got married and then they kind of tried to focus on Sean and his brother and it was like,
Yeah, it did.
Not
kind of, I guess. Maybe I quit watching it before
point.
Then.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Vaguely
that.
Remember when they were in college, vaguely. But
yeah, it wasn't super great after that. But up to that
well,
point.
There you go. Yeah. So
good example,
that was
bad example.
Death.
Yeah. Well, I think the trick is keeping, if your relationships are the thing that keeps you, like in this article I was just reading, that it said, if that's what's keeping your story going, if that's the real thing that's pulling your story along, then you got to keep the conflict there. It has to be in there. Hopefully you have other conflicts. Like for me, I love reading romance in the story, but very rarely pick out books that are straight romance, and that's the only thing, you know. But I love all my books to have that I like to read. For it to be a really good book, most of the time it has to have some kind of romantic angle. There has been some that I've read, like Lord of the Rings. I'm sorry, in the movies they had a little more romance, but in the books there was nothing. And I love that series, you know. But I just think it's all about the conflict, that you've got to have that. And then we've talked about this before, because if you don't have conflict, it's boring. If you read a perfect story about perfect characters, it's totally boring. There has to be something that keeps you going. Did we talk about this one time, or where did I read that the number one thing that keeps people reading is curiosity? Yes, and I just think that's so true. Like, when I think about books that compel me, that just keep me wanting to go, there's something in there that I want to know. Like, I am dying for something to happen, or I want to know something, and I'm curious. And that's, like, I think that's a really, you know, going with conflict, too. But just if your readers are curious and they want to know something, there's something there, then it'll keep them going, even if your characters get together or, the relationships seem to be all happy, you know, and there's a happy kiss. Like in YA, it's like, oh, it's all about the kiss. You know, oh, the kiss and everything. But you don't want that to be the kiss of death. You want people to keep reading past the kiss. So you're like, there needs to be other things that keep the reader going. They need to be curious about something. So that was interesting.
Well, I like what you said at the end, where she said, if you want to keep your story going, then don't let them totally be what the other person needs them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I've mentioned Denise Glover Swink's books a couple times, and I just finished reading her Rose Gardner mystery series. And that was one where I read the first book, and I really enjoyed it. And it was kind of, I got to the end, you know, thinking about it as a writer rather than just a reader. It was like, I wonder how she's going to keep this going, because, you know, she ends up with the guy at the end of the book. And so I was like, I wonder how she's going to carry on this romantic element, because it's supposed to be romantic comedy, you know, mystery, like that's supposed to be part of it. So I was really curious to see how it went. And it wasn't until I started reading the second book that I was like, oh my gosh, like she built that in. She built in these elements of the guy's personality that were going to, you know, become more of a problem. And there were these issues of, basically, you know, he wasn't what she needed him to be. He had these secrets, and, you know, he has these other issues going on in his life that affected their relationship. And it wasn't something that came up blindly in the second book because she's like, oh, I need to bring in another guy or, you know, do something to cause more attention. You know, she planned it from the beginning, so it flowed into it really well. And then she was able to continue that romantic tension along with the goofy, hilarious mysteries.
Well, she thought that was really good.
You know, if you are doing a series, you've got to make that plan from the beginning. You know, how are you going to carry on that romantic tension through more than one book?
It's right.
Not easy to do sometimes.
No,
I know.
It's hard.
I know, that's what I did with my Irish series. I always hate to admit this. The reason I wrote it in that she couldn't kiss humans was because I was so uncomfortable writing kissing scenes when I first started writing that I was like, I'll just write it in that she can't kiss anyone and I don't have to write any.
And then later on, why did I do that to myself? What was I saying?
Well, there are other people that she can kiss. She can't kiss the guy that she's in love with because he's human.
Yeah.
But
but that's a great,
you know, and
that's wonderful tension. It's very good.
Yeah. I mean, because then you can't even allow for a slip up at that point because there's no going back.
Yeah.
So
it's really brilliant, Gail. Actually,
thank you. Thank you. I'd like to say that I wrote that for you to be that brilliant, but that was one of those serendipitous things that just happened to work out really well.
Yes, it does.
Please,
but you know, it's. I don't know. I think it's fun to write in things that, you know, make it so that the romance can't just be typical. And whether that is, like, you a character that's carrying a whole lot of baggage or that if they kiss a human, they'll become a human and lose all their, you know, mortality
that
or whatever
me...
it is.
Yeah. Have you ever read the Sword of Truth series? Sheree, did you read that one? Terry Goodkind. It makes me. I was just thinking about it. Like, okay. So, I don't know if you, I pictured it Kalan in my head, but when they did the TV series, it was Kalan. But and Richard Rall, and how you obviously want them together. And there's tons of romantic tension, but she's a mother confessor, and so if she kisses him, usually if she kisses them, like releases her power, and she basically takes over their mind. They're like her puppet. They'll do anything they want, you know. So she doesn't ever want to do that to Richard because he's going to be the leader. You know, she doesn't want to take over his mind. So I think I was just thinking about that. Books that have worked really well where you as a reader know you want them together so bad and so the tension's there, but it doesn't get to the point of ridiculous because there's a good reason why they can't be together. You know, you're like, well,
right.
She does that, then Richard loses who
he
is. And, of course, the writer has to find a clever way to get around it. Like, Gail, I hope you're figuring out a clever way to get around your little predicament.
I have, except for the third book.
Yeah, but yeah, there's definitely times you can get creative in keeping that tension there. It doesn't always have to be romantic, though. Like you guys were talking about Supernatural. From what I've heard, I haven't watched it, and I kind of refuse to watch it on the fact that people have asked me if I watch it with the Awakener series, and I'm kind of like, no, I don't, because it's angels and demons. But I want to watch it so bad, so I might just have to start. But, like, that's all about the brothers, and I've heard there's not a lot of, I mean, they'll, you know, have little flings here and there, but there's not, that's not the focus of it. It's not a relationship girl,
about brothers.
So we are almost out of time. Announce it right now.
Yes.
So our topic for next week is 5 tips to improve your book. Basically, how to speed up the pacing and get it moving so readers stay interested and aren't just slogging through it to get to the dialogue or the kissing or whatever. So this should be a fun one. Always appreciate it when I read a book with good pacing.
Yes.
So we will be back next week. We'll let you know how Comic-Con went and whether we survived the weekend. So it should be fun.
Yep.
So
we'll talk to you later, everybody.
Next week, we will see you.
Yep.
Bye. Bye.